Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you now for your love, for your mercy. We ask God that you would reach down and touch this house with the power of your grace, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him in the eye and say, hey, I hope he don't preach to one. I want to talk to you this morning on a subject that I will entitle The Renewing of the Mind. Paul writes to the church at Colossae, and he says this in Colossians 3 and 2, set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. You know, there are a lot of people that they get so heavenly minded, they ain't no earthly good. We have some people so earthly minded, they ain't no heavenly good. Paul said you put your mind on heavenly things. Amen. Then you learn how to live in the earth while you're looking for what God's going to bring us. Could you say amen? Well, how do you do that? Well, I read the scripture that said, live diligently, righteously, soberly in this present world. Why? Because I'm looking for that blessed hope, the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Could you say amen? Amen. Praise God. 1 Peter, we write here the writing in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, my hope rests in the fact that I have the revelation of Jesus Christ, and the only way I'm going to get that is to let my mind be renewed by the power and the grace and the glory of Almighty God. Could you say amen? Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, said this in Ephesians 4 and verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God has created the righteousness and true holiness. Amen. The power of God cannot be fully unleashed in us until our mind has been renewed according to the word of God, and is a submission to the spirit of God. Could you say amen? A person has to have a renewing in their mind to walk in newness of life. There has to be a change in the way you think. There has to be a change in the way you do. When someone gets saved, the Bible said, old things pass away, all things become new. Hello? Amen. I was a drug addict and alcoholic. When I got saved, I no longer was a drug addict, alcoholic. And I know AA says you're an alcoholic the rest of your life, but I died at the Buell Church of God on February the 3rd, 1974, and I was resurrected into new life, and I claimed the victory of God that said old things pass away and all things have become new. Amen. Now, I didn't suddenly start thinking different. I got saved in my spirit, but I had to do the changing took place in my mind. And the way I did that was hiding the word of God in my heart, putting myself into the power of God, letting God begin to take control of me. And in doing so, God began to take the old habits and replace them with new habits. And life became a different thing for me. Amen. Notice this. Man was created as a triune being. There's the body, there's the soul, there's the spirit. God intended for the spirit of the person to rule over the soul and over the body. Amen. Somebody said, well, preacher, what happened? Well, things got kind of messed up. Paul writes the church at Thessalonica, the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, 23rd verse, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in a perfect world, your spirit rules the body and the mind. It's not that the mind and the body rule the spirit. And if that happens, then you got a cohesive ability to serve God. But now notice what happened when sin entered the world, the soul and the body of man took control over the spirit. The mind is intended to give expression of the spirit, not to dominate the spirit of man. The battleground for a Christian in the beginning is to bring the mind, the thoughts, into subjection to the spirit, which is reaching out to God. I've always said there's a struggle in every one of us. There is my mind that keeps bringing up the past. There's my body that keeps looking for pleasure. And there's my spirit that is seeking out the relationship with God. And the one I feed the most is the one that's going to be the leader. And if I feed him spiritual stuff, then the spirit takes control and I live a spiritual life. If I feed the flesh, then I follow after the flesh. And the end of that is going to be an enmity between me and God that I cannot handle. And for that reason, I've got to understand how to get my mind to the point that God has control. Now, notice what Paul tells the church in Thessalonica in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5. He said, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. He said, what I got to do is get to the point where I control my thinking. You know the biggest problem we got in the church world? Stinking thinking. We got folks in the church that don't think positively through the power of God. Now, I'm not a positive thinking fella. You can sit and think positive, but you ain't broke all you want to. If your checkbook's empty, you're broke. But if you think the way God does, you understand that when you get to the lowest common denominator, God still functions. Come on, church. Say, what are you talking about? Read your Bible. You go through Genesis to Revelation. Every time they got to nothing, God started moving. Because as long as you got something, there's no reason for him to move. But when you got nowhere to turn, you got nothing you can lean on, nowhere to go, then I've got a God who has the power to say, when you get nowhere and you've got nothing, I'm the God that can take nothing and make something out of it. And that's when we got to have the right kind of mindset. Could you say amen? I want to give you some guidelines for renewing the mind. First of all, identify specific thought patterns or ways of thinking which are not based on the truth of God's word and are causing resistance to walking according to the Spirit. Well, how am I going to do that? Paul tells the church in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and of the joint and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. In other words, God said, if you'll read the word, it'll help you decipher what's right and wrong. If you'll read the word, it'll help you get your life to line up with what God wants you to do in this world. Ephesians in the 22nd verse, chapter 4 of the 22nd verse, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful deeds. You know what he said? He said, get rid of the thought pattern you had before you got right, because it was all bad. He tells the church in Ephesus one thing. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that what you say might administer grace unto the hearer. Hello? Somebody said, what are you talking about, preacher? He basically says this, if you don't have something good to say, shut up. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to use that word. The Bible said, hold ye peace. Bill, we said, shut up. Since you're a city person, be quiet. Quit gossiping. Quit tweeting. Quit acting because you put it on Facebook. It's all right. Let me share something where you won't cost you nothing. It's not my notes. But if somebody tells you something about somebody that ain't true and you repeat them, do you realize you're just as much a liar as they were? Even if you didn't know it was a lie, you just spread a false witness against them, and that's one of the top tens that God says you ain't supposed to do. So the best way to keep from doing that is just don't repeat everything you hear. Oh, come on. Somebody's getting quiet. I'm not aiming at nobody, but if you got hit, you need to listen. Now, I know there's nobody around here, but in Buell, we used to have people, if you want everybody in the community to know, you'd say something and say, don't tell anybody, because they knew it was juicy then. It was 5 miles from the grocery store to my house. I left that store one day, and I purposely told that lady something that wasn't true. And I said, don't tell anybody. I got to the house.
My mama was on the phone. I walked by and said, he talked to her. She said, shh, shh, shh. I knew then it was juicy. I went to another phone. I picked up the phone. I said, are you telling my mama what I told you? Well, yeah. I said, did I not say don't tell anybody? Well, I'm just telling your mama. I said, ain't my mama somebody? I said, besides, I made it up. It ain't true. She said, oh, Lord, I have told 5 other people. Glory. I got to move on. False beliefs and lies come from the natural or unredeemed mind, life's experience, and the demonic realm. You say, what are you talking about? When we get to believe in false stuff, like, I'm living okay. You know, they had a book out one time. I'm okay. You're okay. We got churches like that now. You just believe something. You're all right. I had a young man tell me the other day the reason he liked to go to the church because he never felt convicted. He ain't trying to live right, but he goes to a church because they don't meet him under conviction. I got news for you. That's an indictment to a church when somebody not living right doesn't feel indicted over the way they're living. We've got people in this world that think they can live like the dog and end up in heaven. It ain't going to happen. They think because they was raised in a family that went to church, that's all they got to do. That's not going to happen. If you were in church all your life, you still must be born again. There has to be a change in the way you think and the way you walk and the way you talk. All right. Oh, come on, church. That's good preaching. Glory. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are of the flesh cannot please God. A person's behavior is based on what they have believed about themselves. A Christian must know and be renewed in their identity in Christ. What are you talking about, preacher? I got to know that I know that I know that I'm born again. If there's any doubt in my mind that my relationship with God's where it needs to be, I need to be in an altar talking to God about where I am, saying, God, if there's something between me and you, let's get it out of the way. Let's work on it. Come on, church. Oh, that's good preaching. Amen. Proverbs 23:7. For he thinketh in his heart, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he unto thee, but his heart is not with thee. You know what it said? It said, as you think in your heart, so are you. If you think you're saved and you've believed in God, you're saved. That's what the Bible said. If a man can believe in his heart, confess with his mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, he shall be saved. But if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, it doesn't matter how many churches you've gone to, you're not born again and you're not saved. Oh, come on. I got to have more amens than that. I'll amen myself. We got too many people in this world think, well, I belong to such and such church. I asked the guy the other day, I said, are you saved? He said, I'm such and such. Told me what denomination you went to. I said, I didn't ask you that. I want to know you're saved. I don't care if you attend church 9 days out of a week. Some of y'all get that in a minute. I got some of them back there going, really? There's that many days in a week? It's on a Jewish calendar. I got some of them thinking now. Secondly, a person needs to confess and ask forgiveness for the lie or false belief that has caused them to believe something contrary to God's word. Psalms 119:160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endure forever. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? Every once in a while, you got to realize that if God says it one way and I believe it another, I need to change the way I believe. Come on, church. God doesn't bend to make my belief fit his. Had somebody give me a book. It was called Redemption. The Bible in Light of My Redemption. That was what that book was called. It basically said, if I'm living like I think I ought to be living, then God's going to be okay with that. Not if it's not according to the word. God's word doesn't change to fit me. I was preaching revival, and I'd had my leg reconstructed, and I had a cast on my leg, and I preached on divine healing, and a lady come up after church and said, "You're a hypocrite." I said, "For what?" She said, "Preaching divine healing with a cast on your leg." I said, "Ma'am, whatever happened in my life doesn't change the word of God. The word of God said God's a healer. And just because he didn't see fit to do this to me for whatever reason doesn't change the word of God. I can't decide that because this happened to me today that God's word's not true. Because sometimes all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. And it's not always going to be the best thing that ever happened to me. But if I hang on, God's going to figure out a way to bring it around." Come on, church. Sure, I got my knee tore up. I spent 6 months, couldn't preach. I don't know if that means anything to you, but let me tell you what that meant to us. No income. How would you like to be laid off and know you can't go back to work because a doctor won't let you, and you can't draw unemployment or workman's comp? I got hurt doing something stupid. I was playing basketball. I couldn't figure out a way to get no money from it. Hello? But I got a God that taught me in that 6 months something I needed to know to help me for the rest of my ministry and the rest of my life as a Christian. I learned. Because, see, I always operated under this premise. It doesn't matter where I'm preaching. As long as I'm preaching, God will take care of me. And I live by that premise. I preached in churches that couldn't pay themselves attention. Never questioned. When they said, "Can you preach?" I said, "Let me find a date in my calendar and I'll be there." And I always did that, and it didn't matter. But you know what I learned in that 6 months? That as long as I'm faithful to God, whether I preach one sermon or not, I've got a God who can open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings I cannot contain and may not deserve, because he's able to keep those who are faithful unto him. Could you say amen? Because during that 6 months, we never missed a bill, and we never missed a meal. And I had all kind of things go wrong that should have broke us and took us out. But we made it through because God kept putting his hand down. And somebody from here, come on, church. Whew. I've got to go on. I want to finish the sermon. But listen, when your septic tank goes out, we city folk don't understand that. You know, my septic line quits working, I call somebody to clean the line out because it makes it to the sewer. It's gone. In the country, if your septic tank goes out, you move. That's the only choice. My wife wakes me up one morning. She said, "We got a problem because our bathtubs have become septic tanks." Because it had backed up into the bathtubs, and that sewage water was all in the bathrooms, and I didn't know what to do. I called a friend of mine. He said, "I can pump the tank. That'll make it last about another week or two." But said, "Without them fill lines working, it's going to fill right back up and go right back in the house." And he come out, and he pumped it out. I called and got bids, and I had a guy actually tell me he could do it for $685. Church, that might as well have been $6 million. Because I didn't have $6.85. And then he gave me a deal. "I'll do it and give you the December. You just write me a check and leave the date blank, and I'll hold the check till you get the money." Now, church, I don't mind doing deals with people, but when you know they're a crook, don't look at me. We dissed again. I mean, he stole the business from his daddy. And his daddy stole the business from somebody else. I mean, if his daddy told him he's okay, you wouldn't believe him because his daddy wasn't okay. And I made a deal with the devil. Not really the devil. I just went ahead and signed the check and gave it to him thinking, well, I'm fixing to get wore out. Because all I could think about was I remember some of their deals where they would actually do something like that and then go and put a lien against people's houses and end up with their property. And I go ahead and tell them, "You got to do it because it's got to be done." And he come dug some new field lines. And I'm sitting on the front porch and my mom come in with the mail. He's loading his stuff on the truck and I've got my leg up in a chair and a full cast going down to my ankle. And I'm sitting there watching him and I'm going through the mail and I pulled out three letters. One was from Albany, no, Waycross, South Georgia. There's a gentleman in Waycross, Georgia. I don't even know his name. I just know his nickname, Hooch. And there's a reason they called him that, because he was known in his day to make some of the best shine that could be made in the swamp out there in South Georgia outside of Waycross. His wife had come to church and had had heart problems. They rushed her to the hospital. And I remember following the ambulance to Atlanta because they were going to have to do open heart surgery on her. And we get to the hospital, and all the way up, he kept talking to his son, Mike, and he gets to the hospital and he walks in. He said, "Honey, I love my shine, but I love you more." And God said, "If I'd get saved, he'd heal you." And I'm praying through right here. Lord. Gave his heart to the Lord at Emory University Hospital in Atlanta. They went in and done an arteriogram and come out and said, "We don't need to do surgery. She's grown 3 bypasses." We'd actually thought we'd got to call off the revival. It broke out one another week. Because Hooch come back to church telling everybody how great God was. I open up the letter from Waycross, Georgia, and Sister Smith just simply says, "Hooch woke me up in the middle of the night, tell me to write you a check. I know it's God if he's giving away money." I got a letter from a guy in Massapequa, New York, that's on Long Island. He got saved in a revival in Lindenhurst. I hadn't heard from him in 2 years. But I got a letter from him, said I was praying. God said for me to send you this preacher. I got 2 checks in my hand now. I got one for $400. I got another for $123. Now, how many of y'all would write a check for $123 to a preacher? No takers. I thought I might get one of you anyway. Truth of the matter is, we write checks for even numbers. I'm sitting there and I'm going, "Man, I got 100. I got $523. I need $685. I'm getting close." Opened the other letter from a gentleman in Alexandria, Louisiana. His son's in the Air Force, and I had the privilege. It was a privilege, but it was one of the weirdest experiences of my life. I led his daughter-in-law to the Lord. She's Buddhist, and she's from Thailand and couldn't speak a lick of English. And I was sitting there trying to talk to her about the Lord and trying to help her, and we finally prayed her through. So much so, she brought 3 other young ladies with her, were from Buddhist areas, and they all got saved before the week was out in revival. Luckily, a couple of them could speak English. But you try to explain the salvation experience to somebody that can't speak English, who's never been to a Christian church in their life, it's tough. But she gave her heart to the Lord. And the daddy said, "I just wanted to let you know we appreciate it. I know this is weird, but this is what God said, send." And I got a check for $162. Now, if y'all can't add, that's $685 in 3 checks from 3 parts of the world. And the guy's loading the tractor on the trailer while I'm sitting there looking at them checks. And I've got the check in my hand to give him with no date on it. And I dated it for 2 days later. And he looked at it and he said, "Wait, I told you to leave the date off. It's only good for so many days. Once the date's on," I said, "you can cash it." He said, "How'd you get the money?" I said, "Look, you're a heathen. You wouldn't understand." I showed him those 3 checks, and he stood there, and a tear started out the side of his eye. He said, "Daddy always told me you was a little weird." Glory. Amen. I am weird. Because I've come to believe the word of God, that it is real, that my God is able and can provide. Could you, come on. Amen. I got to hurry. Number 3, a person needs to choose to renew their mind and to set their minds on the things of the Spirit. A person needs to make their own choice to take authority over and change their thought life. A Christian is commanded of God by the word in Matthew chapter 22 to love God with all their mind. Jesus said in Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto them, "Thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." We're to bring every thought into captivity and obedience to God, casting down imaginations. I quoted to you a while ago. And every high thing that insulted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Not only that, but to set our minds on things above. Quoted you that a while ago. Things on, think on things that are true, that are honest. Somebody told me the other day, said, "Preacher, I'm having nightmares." Put your mind on the Word of God. Those nightmares will disappear. I got some good counsel for you. Amen. Listen, the Bible tells me in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, then if you be thinking on these things, he will keep your mind in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him." When I think about him, and I think about his glory, and I think about his word, I'm not touched by the things of this world. We got people afraid to go to bed tonight because some vampire gonna come bite them. If you quit watching them stupid movies, you wouldn't know they existed. I like to watch them old morbid movies, the black and whites and stuff. I mean, them goofies all get out anyway. You can tell there ain't nothing to them. But some of them nowadays, they watch them and the kids are going to bed going, "Oh, that vampire gonna get me." It ain't just kids. We got grown-ups believe as werewolves. People turn into dogs. I know some folks that are dogs, but I mean. I was in Romania with some preachers. I'm going to walk across the road, and I'm in a place called Transylvania. Y'all ever heard of that? I've actually been to the real place. I've actually been to the castle of a guy named Vladimir Tepes. You know him as Count Dracula. I've been to the city he was raised in. I'm actually just a few blocks from that city. Castle's up on the hill. I started out the door. It's a full moon. The state overseer of the country of the state of New Jersey was with us. I love the man, but he was raised in Ghana. I've been around voodoo and stuff, so he had a little problem. And I get to the door. He said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to go over and get something to drink." He said, "It's a full moon." Now, this guy wanted to stop on the way into that valley and buy garlic necklace to wear. And I looked at him. I said, "Dude, there's seven of us in a 9-passenger van with all our luggage. We're packed pretty tight in here. And you get a garlic necklace, one of two things is going to happen. You getting out, or we going to eat Italian." I said, "I'm going to go get something to drink." He said, "No, you can't go." I said, "You going to go get it for me?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, I'll be back." I mean, I know it's midnight, Transylvania, a full moon. If I could have found a pack of ketchup, I could have gave him a heart attack when I come back in. What was wrong with him? He's thinking about stuff he shouldn't be thinking about. I want to tell you something. If I walked out there and there was a vampire, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. For the angels of the Lord are camped round about those who love him and keep his commandments. I was there on the ability of God doing the work of God. I didn't have to worry about a vampire. Glory. Second, fourthly, find the truth of God's word and replace it in false beliefs and its lies. We got to replace the false things we believe, the lies we've been told, by putting the truth in our heart. These preachers that are preaching junk couldn't preach it if people would get the book. I say, "Wait a minute, that ain't in here." Hello? Psalms 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The Jews used to tie a little thing on their ankle and stick a candle in it and light it. I'm sure they had to walk slow, but at least it lit up their path they were walking in so they wouldn't step on a snake or something. We used to go coon hunting. We had hats that we wore. Had a little wire run down, had a battery on our side that kept the light on. My dad had a carbide light, but I wasn't into wearing a light on my head that was lit. Especially when that carbide would blow up. And I actually used to take the carbide. We used to take it and dig a hole in the ground, put the carbide there, and pour water on it. We had an old World War I helmet. We'd put it on top of it, stand on it, let it blow us across the yard. That used to be fun, especially when we had somebody didn't know what it was going to do. We'd stand on that and they'd say, we'd get a kick out of it watching them fly through there going, ah! Dad'd get mad about the holes we had in the yard, but we always had a good time. Glory. So I said, what's that got to do with this story? Nothing, but it would just fit in. Truth of the matter was, we was all out there one night coon hunting, and one guy didn't bring his hat, so he was depending on the rest of us to show him the way. And this one guy got all of us off to the side at different times, said, hey, we get down here, when I say so-and-so, everybody turn the lights off at the same time. Y'all may never been in a swamp, but you can't see your hand in front of your face in the swamp. And that guy gave a signal. We all cleared the lights at the same time. This guy walked right into a great big old tree because he didn't see it. Hit it. We turned the lights on. He's sitting there, nose bleeding. What y'all do that for? I said, we thought it was funny. Glory. He didn't think it was funny. Glory. But we got to get that light to light up the way, to show us how we're doing. Listen, John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth. The truth is going to do what? Make you free. Make me free of what? Religious bondage. All those things that bind you down. Church, listen, when we get the hold to the word of God, we're not bound by the things religious people are bound by. I had somebody tell me the other day, said, what are you talking about? Sanctification's not bondage, it's liberty. Come on, church. Preacher, what are you getting at? I got in the church of God. I said, man, what do we believe? Well, we don't go over here and we don't go over there and we don't do this and we don't do that and we don't. And I went, oh my God. I went to the pastor. I said, what do we believe? He said, you got a few minutes? I said, I got all day. We sat down on the front porch. He said, first of all, son, we don't go over here, and we don't do this, and we don't wear that, and we don't. And he slid his hand over, patted me on the leg, and he said, we don't look like you. I did not look like Church of God when I got saved. Hello? I doubt any of y'all did either. I may have been a little farther out than some of y'all. But I got to thinking, well, they don't. And you know, I found out since I've been in the Church of God for 30-something years as a preacher, most Church of God folks don't. They don't read the Bible. They don't go to prayer meeting. I mean, they're real good at the don'ts. But you know, I got to look at the Bible and found a bunch of things I'm supposed to do. And that's where liberty comes in. I'm not bound by the don'ts because I'm so busy doing the do's I don't have time to worry about the don'ts, so I don't have to worry about them. I'm not all the time wondering about what I can and can't do. I'm just living for God. And as long as I'm doing that and had my word in this, got this word in my heart, I got nothing to worry about. Could you say amen? Glory. Listen, the Bible said in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Psalms 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Amen. So I said, preacher, what are you getting at? We've got to get to that place where we replace everything we've had with the truth of God's word. Apply. Number five, apply and confess the truth of God's word. Amen. James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Psalms 119:172, my tongue shall speak of your word, and your commandments are righteousness. A person can change their focus and their direction by following the word of God. Amen. Number six, meditate on the truth of God's word. Joshua said in Joshua 1, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, for ye shall meditate in it day and night, that ye may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Oh, preacher, I want a prosperity message. I just gave you one. Hide the word of God in your heart. Begin to live by this book. And God said, I'll prosper your way. Hallelujah. The more you get in the book, the closer you get to God, the more prosperous you will become. Oh, that's good preaching. Well, preacher, I'm not sure about that. Psalms 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalms 119:48, my hand also will lift up unto the commandments which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. But remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Where is he hoping? Because I got the word. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. No matter what's going on, if I've got the word in my heart, I'm not worried about it. Could you say amen? Why? Because I know I'm going to make it. What are you talking about? The last thing you got to do is let the truth of God's word move from the mind to the spirit. You've got to get to that place where it's not all up here, but it starts becoming a way of life. It's not something you talk, it's the way you live. Could you say amen? Say, what are you talking about? Blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, nor walk in the way of the sinner, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law doth he meditate both day and night. And what's going to happen? He'll be like a tree that is planted by the river of water, and he'll bring forth fruit in his due season. What are you talking about? When I sell out to God, I'm going to have it made. Why? Because when somebody says, oh, you can't live that way, I'm going to look at them and say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For the law of life in Christ Jesus has made me free of the laws of spirit of sin and death. Oh, but you're in bondage. No, I'm not. Paul said, I have not received the spirit of bondage, but the spirit of adoption, whereby I cry, my Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What are you talking about? I realize now I'm a part of the family. I'm separated from the things of this world through the power of God, and because of that, I am more than a conqueror. I am more than an overcomer. I am a victorious person in Jesus Christ because of the renewing of my mind. I have gone from defeat to victory through the power of my Lord. Hallelujah. Stand with me all over the house. We've got to get to that place that we understand. When the world says it can't be, God says, that's when I'm fixing to function. When that doctor throws his hands up and says, I can't do anything else, God's going, but I'm here. Somebody said, well, preacher, you know, see, that's where we messed up in the church. We got folks in the church that no longer actually believe God can do what that book says he can do. I am not a preacher because I wanted to be a preacher. I didn't live my whole life looking for this as my profession. Matter of fact, the last thing in the world I wanted to do was preach. I ran from God. I ran from churches. Because every time I get in church, no matter what kind of church it was, God started dealing me to be a preacher. And I hit the road. I'd get worse thinking if I got bad enough, he'd leave me alone. And the worse I got, the more he went to pulling on me. Finally, I get saved to the church of God. God fills me with the Holy Ghost. And my mom's diagnosed with terminal cancer. 1974, they gave my mom 6 months to live. We're going to do a radiation implant. Actually put a piece of radium in her body to kill the cancer down enough to give her 6 months. I was in the room sitting by her bed when they brought her back, and I stayed in the room too long, and I actually got radiation sickness. That's how much radiation was in that room. And I was kind of messed up when the doctors come back and got her, but I called enough to know they were doing some kind of surgery. And I went outside, and I was going, what's going on? My dad said, well, they want me to sign for them to do surgery. Said it was a problem, but they thought it was good, but they wanted to be sure before they told us anything. See, when they got the radium in place, they took an x-ray to see if it was in the right place. And the problem was the x-ray they took didn't show any cancer. So they actually went in and took the radiation out and done a hand check and come out going, we can't find it. We got all the documentation. The tumors were there. The lesions were there. She was eat up, but yet it's gone. See, I made a mistake a week before that. I said, God, if you'll heal my mama, I'll preach. My mom died in 2005, 2 months before my mom died with a problem with her heart. She was in the hospital, and the doctor wrote on her chart, where I could see it real plain, cancer-free. 31 years after they gave her 6 months to live, she was still cancer-free. I got a God that can do it, church. And it's time we started believing in what God said he can do and get a hold of this word. And for that to happen, we got to have a renewing of the mind. Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch
that you'd move with the power of your grace. Holy Spirit of God, touch us with your anointing. Touch us with your fire. God, in Jesus' name.